This episode is brought to you by Diageo Bar Academy. Learn more at DiageoBarAcademy.com. That's Diageo BarAcademy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Just Egg. It's a butter egg made from plants. Bring more customers in your doors with Just Egg. Start with a free sample at ju.st/hrn.
This week on Meet and Three, we're talking organization. Not mise en place or keeping your knives in a row, but labor organizing.
If any restaurant worker is listening to this and is like, yes, I want something different, but I don't know where to start. First step they just need to do is to find one of us and get plugged in.
As independent contractors, they can't directly tell people, you know, when or where to work, but by using sort of gamified nudges to push people, that is sort of how they move the workforce around.
Tune in to Meet in Three, available wherever you get your podcasts.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
And I'm Greg Benson.
Guys.
Hey.
Gentlemen.
What's been happening? I see that... From what I can tell on social media, and definitely not in person or even virtually or over the phone, Souther's opened like 100 new bars in the past week or something like that.
98.
What the hell, man?
Thank you.
It'll be 100 tomorrow.
How do you do this all the time without telling your buddies about it? I mean, like,
So we're just slightly opening a new bar. We decided this year to reclaim, or rather to claim, the outside service, right? Last year, we kind of got steamrolled by the necessity of doing it, and we didn't really adjust ourselves to fit into being outdoors. You know, we're trying to serve a Manhattan on a 110-degree day on the streets of New York, and it simply wasn't working for us. So I've rebranded Amore Amargo just for the summer, and in fact, in the title, it says Summer 21. So now we call it Spritz by Amore Amargo, Summer 2021. Gotcha. So it's almost like an internal pop-up. So we're outdoors serving our style drinks. We've always had one long effervescent drink on the menu at all times. So now we have eight of them. And then our core six drinks, the Manhattan Old Fashioned Negroni, the Deep Palm Velma, the Amaro, and the Sharpie Mustache. And then eight long drinks, very spritz style. We've made the outdoors look more like a piazza with big umbrellas and brightly colored paintings that Natalie Check did on the walls. So big, beautiful murals. It's really... Yesterday we launched it and it took off immediately. So I think it's going to be successful for us. And frankly, bigger than that, it's going to make me a happier person. I have not liked being outside. So now I still don't like it, but I don't like it less. How's that?
That sounds like it's about par for the course.
That's the most positive thing I've ever heard you say.
Yeah. He's coming around, guys. We did it. We
and finally got it. Grew and grew and grew.
No, but I get it though.
I hate it. I still hate it. I just hate it less.
But the thing is, it's like, but now you hate it by choice. You know, it's like now it's a thing that you have chosen to hate. And that's not nothing.
That's it. Wow. You nailed it. I did that. Yeah. And then, of course, opened Etheria a couple of weeks ago. And then we just opened Soda Club. So, yeah, we're the city is coming back to life. And we
starting
are starting
to open up just like your heart.
Come back out and bloom.
Finally.
Growing three sizes in one day.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I've been seeing so many positive things coming from your way. So that's... Congrats, man. That's really great.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I wish you could come out here and check it out. I can't wait till you can.
I'll be out there very soon, actually. As the world is opening up, you know, I've seen a lot of people traveling out here. You know, I work in Napa some of the time, and I get to see, you know, firsthand, like tourism, like legit tourism, you know, and, you know, starting to see a lot of people coming out, and it's happening. June 15th. In California is the date. No more masks, no more anything that has to do with COVID, unless it has to do with, you know, certain types of travel and obviously certain places like hospitals and stuff like that. But yeah, it's interesting because I'm turning 40, me and my twin brother, Twinsmas, our birthday, as we call it, Twinsmas. You always say creepy. Fuck you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so
because the immediate thought I have is the twins from the
show. I think
they have the braids and everything too.
But yeah, it's interesting, you know. Like, I do want to stress that, you know, it's not over yet. COVID's not over, but you know, still take all the precautions you're supposed to.
No.
Like, we have to get tested a bunch of times because we're hopping from one island to another. You got to get tested before that. You know, all these things. So you still got to be really respectful of people who are working in the field, and you know, just don't be a dick, you know.
And just your fellow human, fucking get vaccinated, exactly. Get tested, do the right thing.
Yeah,
so you're heading to Hawaii. That sounds awesome. I'm itching to travel again. Yeah. I'm damn sure itching to get to the beach.
You love the outdoors, apparently. You love being outside. but yeah, it's gonna be fun. I was there for Hawaii Food and Wine Festival a couple years ago, right before you know everything went down. And you know, it was my first time, and I was like, man, I have a ukulele, like a real cheap one that I've had forever that I never really felt inspired to play, but I was like looking around at these things and I was like, man, I mean, like ukulele shops in Hawaii are like pizza joints in New York, you know, like you have no problem finding one, you know,
they're just everywhere.
Famous original ukuleles.
Say, so like, I was really wanting to buy one and I just didn't, I passed on it. And then last fall, in like October, my girlfriend and I went on a big road trip for like 2.5 weeks. And I happened to be looking on Craigslist for a guitar. I'm a left-handed guitarist. So for me, it's really hard to find the cool guitars that I want because they just don't make them, basically. But I found one in Santa Fe where we were going to be staying for a few nights. And I hit up the guy. And I was like, yo, I'll take this from you. Let's meet up. And you know, I'm the silver lining guy in the group, but like what happened was I bought the guitar and I'm sitting on this guy's tailgate of his truck playing around with it. And, I'm like, yeah, I'll take this, man. And I, you know, Venmo him. And he, all of a sudden he's like, hey, actually, he's like, I got something for you. We've been communicating for like 3 weeks before and kind of like, you know, become friendly. And he was like, man, I got something for you. If you want it, I think you'll like it. But if you don't worry, you don't have to take it. But I'm not really playing much anymore. And he pulls out the exact same ukulele that I was looking at in Hawaii. And it was like, he was like, you can just have this since you bought this. So I made the joke when I got back to my girlfriend. I was like, yeah, I bought a $1,200 ukulele and he threw in a Martin guitar for free. but you know, it was kind of a sign. It was like, I was meant to have this ukulele. So the thing is, it's a baritone ukulele, which means it's tuned exactly like the bottom four strings of a guitar. So I don't even have to learn any different chords. It's just like playing a guitar. And it's also, since it's a baritone, it's a little bit larger. I'm 6'4", so it actually makes, it looks less awkward on me. But I'm really excited to take that with me to Hawaii when we go in a couple of weeks. Which leads me to our guest, actually.
That's first of all, that's a great story. But yes, it does lead to our guest. Yeah. I appreciate you sharing that story. A $1,200 ukulele. I think
mine's about right. That tracks.
It's a starter.
Yeah. You'll get there. That leads us to our guest. We have Jessica Graves in the studio, who's actually a ukulele instructor, amongst many other things. Ukulele hero.
A ukulele hero, yeah. as named so by Ukulele Hunt or Ukunt, .com writer, Mr. Alistair Wood. Once upon a time. I've been playing the ukulele since 1999. And I got my ukulele band, Shorty Long. From back in those days, we were called Ukulele Heroes on so ukunt.com.
That's so good.
The ukulele community is so clever with their wordsmithing.
In Dallas, they have a ukulele society. It's called the Dallas Ukulele Headquarters, or
Among other things, you said, Jess is also joining us because she makes delicious absinthe in the great state of Texas.
It's true.
And you've been on the show before. Thanks for coming back and joining us. How have you been since we've seen and spoken to you last, which was well before the pandemic? So I want to talk about some of that as well. But let's talk about what's going on with your absinthe.
Sure. So since I last was in New York to record the speakeasy in the garden, the absinthe has doubled. We started off with our sort of high water mark, the most glorious green, our emerald absinthe, and then last fall, it was a soft launch because nothing was happening. But we did in fact get the bottles and put the booze in the bottles and then send it out into the world in a few places. Our opal absinthe, which is what we are calling our white absinthe. So we have yet even more absinthe. The opal's the one that I tasted that like convinced me that the guys were right that we should start an absinthe distillery. It's the one that converted me. I joined the dark side after tasting that one. So we had when I was last on the show, so that was what, spring of 2019, we had the elderflower and the jasmine, and we had just put out, or actually you guys got the first taste of Midnight Marigold. Mm-hmm. And then like a couple days after I got back, we actually had our launch party here in Texas. So you guys actually got the actual first taste, the very first bottle. So the Midnight Marigold was our first bitter cordial, and we've since done another sort of collaborative recipe, fun times, there's a liquid catering company here in Austin called Sourced Craft Cocktails. And so we made a Sourced Signature Amaro, and it is, a bitter cordial, right? Cause we're not actually in Italy. So we don't call it Amaro, but, our Sourced Signature Bitter Cordial, which is a pretty traditional Italian herb blend, plus ancho chilies and a proper kick of spice for a real Texas twist on the classic sort of flavor.
Good stuff. Remind me what it is, besides maybe your just brazen potential insanity, that made you decide that made you decide to open a distillery that sells such, frankly, niche and thus difficult to sell products. Well, what made you say to yourself, you know what there isn't enough of out there? Texas-made absinthe.
I definitely, when I'm like, I make absinthe, in Texas, I definitely get a lot of side eye.
Well, you're the first, right? The first absinthe producer in Texas?
We are. We're the best absinthe producer in Texas and the worst because we're the only one.
Yeah, you're following the Phil Duff rule. Duff, who makes Old Duff Geneva, he said, we're one of the number one selling Genevers in America, but we have no competition. You want to be number one at something, pick a category with no competition.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I guess potential insanity for sure, and certainly anybody who sort of advised us early on in the business development and loan, whatever. The person who actually ended up helping us get our funding totally believed in us, regardless of how cockamamie the idea of making absinthe in Texas was, which was great because we were confident. It's one thing when your friends are like, "Wow, that's really good, you guys," and it's another thing when a stranger tastes it and then loses their mind and says, "You make this? Like, I need a bottle of this every 30 days for the rest of my life."
Well, that's how we met. That's how you and I met.
Yeah. Right.
And now I am a friend, so I guess my opinion doesn't count anymore.
Right.
I am no longer an objective participant. So just like, cut off everything I've said about your products after a summer of 2018.
Well, I think, you're part of the reason that we keep going, but you just weren't in early enough to help us be part of the reason that we actually went all in and got the lease and started the permitting process. It took 22 months between when we got our building and when we sold our first bottle. It was, there are many reasons that, this endeavor is like not a good idea. When people are like, "Oh, you own a distillery? That's so cool." And I'm like, do you see all the gray hair? Do not do this to yourself. Keep your 401k, go work for somebody else. Do not do this to yourself. that's just, any business owner is just going to, they're going to have their stresses and whatnot. And we were not sure how we were going to make it through 2020 when everything shut down. But then they gave us the opportunity to make hand sanitizer, and that sort of made it possible for us to bridge that gap. But yeah, it's, you know, the response to the stuff has been so positive, and people who like myself, who thought that absinthe was terrible, then taste it and go, oh my God, I didn't know it could be so good. And I
you yourself were an absinthe. You thought it was a terrible thing. And then you said,
I
can make it better. I can make it better.
My idea to start the thing. I had a band, and I had an interpreting practice. I was the sole proprietor of multiple businesses, and I started seeing this fella who I liked a lot. And on our like second date, he was telling me all about how he was gonna, second date. You know, hey babe, I think I want to start an absinthe distillery. And I was like, oh, that's nice. You know, sure.
On your second date.
Yeah, he's just like, you know, telling me about his dreams and stuff.
Red flag.
He's a chemist and quite good at you know, using extractions and stuff. He's done a lot of laboratory work and, you know, he's good at what he does. And, so when I, heard him talk about that, I was like, well, he could probably do that. That sounds kind of cool. I might be interested to see that happen. But then, you know, we started, getting more serious, and eventually I moved in with him. And then I realized, oh, I'm going to actually have to like take his dreams a little more seriously. the three of us that own and operate the business, it's me and Mancuso, Matthew Mancuso. And then, his best friend since they were 10, Chris McLaughlin. So McLaughlin goes down to the store and buys so many boxes of wine that they made him sign a release saying that he wasn't going to be reselling it. He was like, we're just going to have a party with a lot of sangria.
Do they make you do that if you buy it by the bottle, or is it just if you buy it by the box?
I really don't know. I've never bought such a quantity of alcohol ever in my life. But yeah, so once they did their test batch and I got to taste it, I was like, holy moly, this is okay. So it's not just a cute idea that I think is, I'm like, wow, this is really interesting. And then I started researching because I'm the kind of nerd that I am. And I went and read everything I could find about absinthe and, you know, bought a bunch of books and really just fell in love with the romance of it, you know? And then once we started doing the liqueurs and stuff, like getting into like Amari and just sort of the connection between, sort of there's so many connections of like how we grow herbs and how we eat food in all these different cultures and times. And I just got so fascinated with the whole thing. So I was like, all right, so, distillery. Yeah, let's do that.
Incredible.
So I figure if I can be this excited about it, I can get anybody excited about it. And we've managed to do that to, not a humongous extent. You know, our bottle's not on every bar, but, you know, I get more and more people, you know, sending me messages all the time asking, you know, I wish we could get our Texas legislature to pass a direct-to-consumer bill, because I would have probably doubled my sales by now. But unfortunately, everybody's like, can you send me a bottle to blah, blah, blah? I'm like, nope. If you live in the District of Columbia, because it's not a state. Woo!
Well,
and that's
not yet,
pretty
we
much
hope.
It. Greg and I both have lived in DC,
right.
And we talk a lot about how much we want that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, that's a let's not get too deep into that though, because we have to. I mean, the legislature does occasionally do things that don't make my blood pressure go through the roof, but let's not go down that road, shall we?
Actually, like, was there a big absinthe push or growth in Texas? Was this like a proactive thing or reactive? Like, I feel like, you know, there are I love Texas. I love Austin, you know, and I know that like the cocktail scene has really exploded there, as it has in a lot of places over the past, you know, 10, 15 years. But I think of absinthe, like, you know, in kind of like used in cocktails, but is it like something that people are like, how's that going in Texas? You know, it's always so like hot there too. And it, to me, it seems like a really, well, very boozy, but it's a refreshing drink. You know, I drink pastis all the time. I love it. But I was just wondering what what the scene's like as far as your sales go there. And
right. Well, I don't have access because of the way Texas liquor law is structured. Oh, right, yeah. So I don't really get to see
the good old TABC.
So I don't really know to a particularly granular level. Like I won't be able to analyze my sales on the customer.
I'm really not really so much sales, the way people are enjoying it.
Sure. Well, so, I mean, there's been a bar in Austin for, they celebrated their 10th anniversary, either 2019 or 2020. Cause what is time? Peche. Yeah. So, you know, they're wonderful. You walk in the front door and there is like an 8-foot tall absinthe fountain, which is marvelous. They're also like a wonderful French restaurant and they, you know, they have a lot more to offer than just absinthe, but, you know, that's been a staple for over 10 years now. It's like the nerds, right? As with many other things that I enjoy, like the people who love them really, really love them. And that's sort of enough to kind of keep things going, even when it's not necessarily a very popular thing. And I think probably because there haven't been a whole lot of, outside of like, you know, Peche's extensive list, there's not a whole lot of places that offer like a really good, like a high end or, whatever the way distribution works in the state, it's just kind of hard to get your hands on a good bottle or consistently get your hands on a good bottle. And so like not everybody has like been able to put that in the bar and have it sort of become like a, you know, anywhere near the sort of regularly available thing that it was 150 years ago. But I figure if it was once the most popular drink on the planet, that it could probably regain some of its former glory.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, I'm still holding out for, you know, the green hour to be a something that more people know what the hell that is. Sure. everybody knows happy hour and that's where it started. So, if I, who still don't like black licorice, can enjoy, absinthe in various forms, various drinks. Yeah. And you're totally right. I make a patio pounder that I call the green goddess, which is basically my take on the green monster, which is a punch, that they did. I'm going to blank on it. What's your, marvelous French cafe over in Brooklyn. Maison Premier. Thank you. I was like, it starts with an M. Where's my brain? Crank, 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 crank. Nope. I think Maison Premier did that recipe originally a million years ago, and I just sort of modified it to be a little more sort of single serving and summery and effervescent. It's just really simple, like absinthe, lime, simple syrup and soda. And it's just, you know, it's bright and springy and very low ABV, like that, you know, everybody's scared of absinthe because it's so high proof in the bottle, but you know, a dab will do you. And and there's so much flavor packed in, you know, you can really just put a tiny little, you know, you put a bar spoon in any of, you know, anything with any sort of citrus or you know, fruit juice or any sort of thing like that, and it'll just kick it up in a few different notches.
Yeah. I love a maresque. I don't know if you know that drink. Orgeat, typically pastis or absinthe, made long with either water or seltzer. Really simple and delicious.
Yeah.
Those notes of almond syrup alongside the anise flavor with, you know, plenty of dilution from water or seltzer. It's a crushable summertime
drink. That sounds fantastic. I think I have some orgeat on hand. I'm gonna have to give that a try.
Mm. Yeah, the maresque. Well, let's take a break right here. We're about midway through and hear from our sponsors. We'll come right back and keep talking with Jessica from Texas. And maybe she'll break out her ukulele. Who knows? Stay with us.
If I'm going to do that, I am going to tune this thing.
So, guys, you know, I opened Spritz by Amore Amargo for the summer of 2021. That's in my new outdoor patio situation where we're serving a lot of long, effervescent, lower ABV cocktails.
I heard, yeah. I think that's going to be a big thing this summer, honestly. I think a lot of people, you know, they are excited to be back in bars, but they also still want to be outside. And all the places, I mean, everybody has their little, you know, huts set up on the street anyway. Why not use it?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we even have our parklet, and on the weekends, they close down the two streets that Grand Army's on. So we have the street. So there's a lot of people coming out, and of course they want to hang out for a long period of time. So low ABV cocktails are really great. And as we're talking about on the show today, it's something that you can do a lot with very little, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Plus there's plenty of resources out there to help bartenders get a hold of information regarding low ABV cocktails, among many other things. Most notably, of course, baracademy.com from Diageo, which is a great resource for all sorts of information regarding low ABV cocktails, to-go sales, packaged cocktails, like all the things that we're all getting into right
now. That sounds amazing. How much does it cost?
It's absolutely free, my friend.
It's absolutely free.
Yeah, no cost to you. It's a great program. And I think that the accessibility of it is what makes it the greatest, right? It's there's no barrier for entry. As long as you've got some way to get online, you can check it all out and find resources from a range of things, in also in a range of a skill level sets, right? You don't have to be a professional bartender to learn something from this. Anyone from the novice all the way up to the seasoned pro and bar owner like us can get a hold of this information and use it to their advantage.
Which is great too, because you can use it to, you know, if you're just getting started and you want to learn more, or if, you know, you're a bartender who's getting back behind the bar for the first time in a while and you just want to brush up on the classics. It's got something for everybody, which is great.
Yep. And you've got quizzes so you can test your knowledge, which everyone loves. I love a good quiz, right? It's not a test, it's a quiz. It has a fun name. It has a Z in it.
And the Q. And the U.
And the Q. It's like a 40-point Scrabble word.
Yeah, especially if you hit that triple word score. Where can we get all this info, though, Greg?
That would be DiageoBarAcademy.com. That is DiageoBarAcademy.com.
Outstanding.
So check it out. Once again, absolutely free. You got nothing to lose, and there's a ton of great stuff there. So head on over today and check it out.
This episode is brought to you by Just Egg. You can't have plant-based breakfast without a plant-based egg. Just Egg is now the fastest growing egg brand in the United States. Bring more plant-based customers into your doors with easy-to-use Just Egg. You can get started with a free sample. Just head to ju.st/hrn. Made from plants, Just Egg is a better egg for you and for the planet. It's healthier, with no cholesterol and less saturated fat. And it's more sustainable. Just Egg uses less water and generates fewer carbon emissions. Most importantly, it's delicious. For our listeners who operate a food service establishment, you can get a sample for free. Head to ju.st/hrn. Just Egg makes a delicious plant-based addition to any menu. It's available as a liquid scramble, great for omelets, frittatas, stir fries, and French toast. There's also frozen, pre-baked folded version that's ideal for filling breakfast sandwiches or topping salads. Chef Jose Andres called Just Egg mind-blowing, and Bon Appetit says, "So good, I feel guilty eating it." Put the fastest growing egg brand on your menu. Get a free sample of Just Egg for your restaurant at ju.st/hrn.
And we are back. You were listening to The Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network. Today in the studio with us, we have Jessica Lee Graves, sign language interpreter, absinthe maven, and ukulele expert who just scored our mid-roll with a fun impromptu riff on her song Tanqueray, also by Diageo, off of the album, what is it? All Your Talk of Love? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Available on Spotify. Check it out. It's really good.
Yeah, and that tune was actually written by my bandmate, Miss Raina Lee. We have the same middle name spelled the same way, and our band is called The Lovelies.
Oh, my God. That's so cute.
Isn't that cute? We, the Lovelies, we play ukuleles.
I don't get it. So before the break, we were talking about, some of the absinthe that you make. And by the way, I have to chime in. I love using your opal absinthe as a float on top of a Negroni Spagliato. It is very decadent and very delicious. And we were saying earlier, a dabble do you. One is good. Two, if you really want to have a fun night on your porch.
Oh man, well, it's not like anybody's been going anywhere, so but yeah, that's that I got, you know, the first time you did that, you sent me that you know, the what you'd done, and I was like, so I don't know that I've actually made a Negroni at home that wasn't that recipe. Since then, it's so good.
It's so good. And it's fun because the louche turns, I believe, you'll have to correct me because I'm colorblind and I can't personally verify this with absolute certainty, it almost creates this kind of like fun pink layer on top, right?
I suppose, like, so the opal all by itself is like an opal jewel, so it's got like sort of bluish, greenish, purplish undertones, but it's sort of like milky white. But if it's put in with you know, like a red liqueur, it's definitely going to make that like a milky pink for sure.
Yes, there we go. I did it.
Well done.
But let's talk about some of the other stuff you're working on.
This is a great way to jump into it, right? You're making a Negroni, which is a bitter style cocktail, and you're using some of the absinthe with it. But now you've started making some, you're not calling them Amari, though you, by the way, you mentioned earlier that you're not calling them that by choice. You absolutely can. Amaro certainly doesn't just mean Italian anymore.
It hasn't
for quite some time, but you're calling them bitter liqueurs, right?
Bitter cordials. I think the way that we, you know, like so many people don't know what Amaro means, who are sort of like walking into our distillery because they were in Bastrop area and like Googled distilleries.
Wait a minute, you're in Bastrop? Is that where you are?
Bastrop, Texas, yeah.
Are you friends with Brian Floyd?
Oh yeah, he has he put in our Emerald Absinthe on. He only has room for about 20 bottles in the back of that tiny little bar in that wonderful new place, it's something in Market. I can't remember what it's called. That I can't think of these things off the top of my head. Yeah, no, Brian Floyd's a marvelous bartender, and now Bastrop, Texas is really coming up. They finally have fine dining, and he's the bar director for that wonderful program right there on Main Street in historic Bastrop, Texas.
That's amazing.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So yeah, we just, you know, we figure bitter cordial like explains to somebody who doesn't know what these weird herbaceous, you know, niche
storehouse market and eatery. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I looked it up real fast.
Good for you. Because I certainly wasn't going to be able to pull that out of my files in my brain anytime soon.
It's early. We've all had a bit of absinthe.
You know, maybe it's because I haven't had any absinthe yet that I'm having such.
There you go.
I need to grease the skids. It's great. Yeah, actually, so my great grandmother was born in Bastrop, Texas in 1899, and she was actually the third generation of my family in Bastrop, Texas. So it was really cool to get to do that it made really good sense for us to do our distillery there. And as that town has continued to grow, as everything in Texas is in, you know, certainly around the Austin area, you know, we're only about a half an hour east of Austin, and it's really, you know, there's a lot going on around here, and it's nice to see the place coming up like that. So I was really delighted that Floyd and his wife, Amy, bought a house out there. And then that once, you know, we could actually do things like have a restaurant open, that they, that he was part of that whole thing. It's really special.
It is. Yeah. And it's highly coincidental because it's not a huge town. Right. So let's talk about that bitter that you're making.
Sure. Also, we have the Midnight Marigold, which it's Midnight Marigold because Midnight Cowboy, which is one of the cocktail bars that sort of kicked off our the Austin area sort of cocktail revival, along with Pesce that we were talking about earlier. It's like Pesce and Midnight Cowboy are like the OG cocktail bars in Austin, and Midnight Cowboy had been using marigolds as a garnish in a cocktail on one of their menus once upon a time. And they love the color. And since most Amari are like brown or red, having one that was orange seemed novel. And so the GM at the time, Ryan Ehrlichman, approached us saying, hey, do you guys maybe want to develop a recipe with us? And we were like, that sounds like fun. And so we started off with the marigold as sort of the, you know, that was our jumping off point. And then it made sense to do turmeric, mm-hmm. right? Marigold, turmeric, ginger, caraway, coriander, and quina, right? Chincona bark. And the other bitterant is wormwood, like we use in our absinthe. So little connection across the liqueurs line or to the absinthe there.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, and it's incredible stuff. Really delicious. I don't have any on hand at the moment, but you got some to me in the past before the world went to hell. And I really, really enjoyed it. And now I'm asking, is it available here in New York?
It sure is. There's a, you know, we would love to have a proper, like, you know, distributor that would like actually like bring it to your bar, you know, like all the rest of your stuff. But for now, we're using a little platform called LibDib, Liberation right. Distribution. Mm-hmm. So, you know, any bottle shop or bar in New York could in fact order it. And it would be drop shipped from my warehouse in Bastrop, Texas.
LibDib. So I could order it through LibDib. And then, you know, here's the interesting thing. Right now, and for at least the foreseeable future, they're hinting at that it's going to go on for 2 years. All bars and restaurants can sell package right now. So I could sell your stuff to the public.
Ooh, well, wouldn't that be fancy?
It would be fancy.
You think those New Yorkers would like spicy things too?
Some do.
There's
some
a lot of expats in New York.
Yeah, some
expats. I love that term.
Some of them can be brought over the fence, I think. yeah, I really enjoy that stuff. And now that I know that it's gettable through LibDib, I'll look into getting it. We haven't used LibDib yet, but I'm overdue to give it a try. So you might be
Well, there's so many little things that you know you wouldn't be able to get otherwise because they're just, you know, little brands like ours where...
It's a pretty cool platform. I guess I've just been slow on the uptake because I jokingly ask a lot of operators and owners and friends of mine, you know, like, How many purveyors and distributors do you have to deal with to make your back bar happen? And they're like, including beer and wine? And I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. And the numbers hover around like 7 to 9, you know, and I'm already well into the 20s.
Yeah.
Keeping my back bar afloat. And then that doesn't include the retail that I deal with as well. So, you know, like, it's just one more thing.
And that's why we would like to have a regular distributor so that we're not adding yet another to that list. Cause I know.
Yeah.
It's,
but
I
even if you get a distributor, it might be one that no one has, you know, like it doesn't matter.
Fair,
it's either way.
Fair.
And my bar is built, you know, all around the notion of the obscure. So it's just the price I have to pay. So I'll look into it. You'll be the thing that encourages me to finally get on LibDib and check it out.
I love being the instigator.
Yeah, I get that sense from you. Every time you're around, we seem to have a pretty raucous time. You are an instigator of good times.
Well, you know, I'm here to have a good time.
Yeah, I think the last time
and you bring it with you.
Everybody in the pool.
Yeah, and you bring it with you.
I think the last time you were in New York City that we hung out, we went out for it was one of those nights where like, yeah, let's go out for one or two, and I wound up coming home like 14 hours later.
That is absolutely what happened.
It was great. Yeah, we talked business. The whole thing was a business meeting. It's wonderful. Yeah,
it was very businessy, and we did a lot of business.
Yes, we did. Yeah. All tax deductible business.
Yeah, that's. I mean, gosh, there's just such a, you know, you guys have an embarrassment of riches. Hopefully, still even after the attrition. Mm. The just marvelous things that are just, you know, walk from this place to that place and walk from this place to that place. I just, you know, it's a marvel for somebody who lives in a place where you can, you know, well, you could walk between a lot of things, but like 9 months out of the year, that's a sweltering prospect.
Yeah.
You can. It doesn't mean that you should.
We are coming back to life. You know, I see it now that we're on, you know, really rolling into the outdoor space again. They're popping up like, you know, it's little poppies popping up out of the ground. Springtime for sure is back in New York. And I think that as restrictions get relaxed and more people get vaccinated, you know, I do the indoor service called Reserve. And I started beginning the service with the question, who in the room has been fully vaccinated? And the last three services, 100%. So it's only 10 people at a time. But still, to be in a room with everyone that's been fully vaccinated and past the 2-week period It's, you know, we're seeing it happen. So, you know, the city is becoming more and more alive based on the fact that everyone here is doing what needs to be done to get it open.
Yeah. And, you know, that we're definitely seeing that in Texas, as much though you may hear objections from folks. we do have some notable exceptions. But, you know, among my sort of, you know, my fam, and I know that, you know, certainly people in the service industry are, you know, they're very interested in being protected while they're out there, you know, making a good time for folks. And people are so ready to have a good time. I my birthday was yesterday, and I share a birthday with a dear friend of mine, and we got to go out to a bar.
Wow.
We sat inside. And we drank cocktails and laughed, and we hugged each other, and it was just really wonderful. I mean, just after I got that first jab, which I went back in March, it just, you know, it's amazing what happens. Like, your brain starts allowing you to have thoughts that, like, you were just sort of like, nope, not even gonna think about it. It hurts too much. Nope. And then, you know, once that happened, and it was like, oh wait, but this is real now. You know, I just it really sort of changed just where I think from about the world.
Sure, even the ability to start to make plans.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to plan things is a human, you know, a high on the list of desires for humans, is to be able to plan and foresee. And I think that for the past year, we haven't been able to really do any much future planning.
Well, yeah. Or you've had to plan too much. Like, what I'm looking forward to is just getting back, and it's starting to feel this way, is to where you can just go into a bar without making a reservation.
Right.
You know, and you don't, oh wait, I can support a bar without getting takeout, you know?
Right. Yeah.
All these things. I've been making the joke about, yeah, it's like, even if you want to go to a dive bar, you still got to make a reservation. Yeah. You know, it's like, that's not the spirit of that kind of
spontaneity and just spur of the moment. And let's land in a cool neighborhood and tour around, have a drink here, a drink there, a cocktail here.
I'll take my shirt off there, again.
What have you. Take your shirt off
in a bar.
Me too.
No more shirts in bars.
Everybody in the pool.
The water's fine. I mean, obviously, we're all feeling the lift from our shoulders of this stuff coming off of us, and,
you know, effervescent like the cocktails on your patio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look at you tying it back. Well, and I need also to get a hold of some Midnight Marigold and get that into a lengthy, bubbly cocktail on my patio. I think the Marigold speaks to spring. So I think as soon as this show is over, I'm going to check out LibDib, and I'll get plenty of bottles that I can use on the menu, and I'll get some bottles that I can sell to the public as well. If people are listening and want to come and give it a whirl.
Speaking of that, Souther, she was saying on the break that she has these really cool 3-packs of floral and herbaceous spirits. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, sure. So it's a little 3-pack of 200 milliliter bottles. And
adorable.
So they're a little cutie. So, like, for people who don't want to, like, buy an entire bottle that they don't know if they like it or not, it's got the elderflower, which we color pink with elderberry juice. And then our jasmine liqueur, so like jasmine flower, jasmine tea, and then the midnight marigold. And on the back of the box is a recipe for each of those from the some of the greatest bartenders that I know in Austin. So you know, if you're like, well, what do I do with this? It's like you have a starting point there with some lovely cocktails from some of my most marvelous magician mixologists. So
thanks. It is really one of those things where it's like, you know, for a lot of companies, they start out obviously making 750 milliliter bottles. But then, like, you know, for things like liqueurs and absinthe, you know, where a little, like you said, a little dabble do you, you know, it's nice to have a smaller option.
Agreed. Yeah. It's consumer friendly as well. I have so many people right now coming through the shop, and they're like, man, you know, a bottle of chartreuse is relatively expensive for, you know, compared to the other bottles on my bar, and I'm going to use it so little. My first response always is, well, it never goes bad. And then my second response now, because I can do it, is I'll say, well, I'll crack it open and pour it into a 100 milliliter flask for you and sell you 100 milliliters.
That's cool. I wish we could do that in Texas.
These are the restrictions that have been lifted right now. So, you know, I'm allowed to sell cocktails to go. So I could say, well, I'll just pour you chartreuse or absinthe or whatever into a 100 milliliter flask, and I can sell that too. So that's, it's been a fun way to get people to engage and try things out maybe that they wouldn't have normally tried. So I love the idea of the 3-pack of 200s.
Yeah, with chartreuse, people saying that, like, I'm not going to use it. And, like, I would say the third thing is, you don't think so yet. You'd be surprised how quickly those bottles disappear.
I think so, too. You know, once you understand what a hammer can do, you use that thing all the time.
Yeah. And then every cocktail is a nail.
Every cocktail is a nail.
You have it in your shower.
Chartreuse. Oh my goodness, that's wonderful! Yeah, it's a lot of fun to play with that one. My very first drink out, I graduated from college after a 15-year gap between my second to last semester and my last semester.
You're on the 15-year plan.
Quindecennial super senior. And my very first time out at a bar was to celebrate my graduation, and the very first drink that I had was a Naked and Famous.
Nice. Joaquin Simo. Mm-hmm. That drink is also featured in Robert Simonson's new book, Tequila and Mezcal Cocktails. Ooh. Or maybe it's Mezcal and Tequila Cocktails. I can't remember how to go.
And that's the yellow chartreuse, not the green chartreuse that we also so love. But, you know, yes. I like them all.
I do, too. I'm a indiscriminate imbiber. Equal opportunity. Equal opportunity imbiber.
Yeah.
Cool. Where can we learn more about this?
Well, we do a little bit of Instagramming at Violet Crown Spirits. Austin is the city of the Violet Crown, and that dates back to the days when O. Henry was here writing, and a little bit before that. But violetcrown spirits.com, as well as at Violet Crown Spirits on Instagram, which is nice. most of our activity online.
Very cool. I'm on it right now.
Sweet.
Yeah, and you know, it'd be fun to, I guess, you know, like, there's so many people like us who are like wondering where we can find it. And see, so you have a section on your website that says keep in touch. I'm sure that's where people can go to like figure out where they can get it in their state and in their in the Bastrops and other towns of the world.
Yeah, you know, I try to, I need to do another update because we've expanded a little bit. Actually, it's like Where to Enjoy has a list of like cocktail bars and retail spots that it's due for an update, but that'll be happening here soon. I've rejoined the world and I'm checking in. So that'll get updated soon. But, you know, we're available in Texas, Tennessee, Louisiana, and then Illinois, California, and New York. So
we're
not very, you know, like there's one bottle shop that keeps ordering Midnight Marigold in San Francisco called, is it Bottles and Bitters or Bitters and Bottles?
Bitters and Bottles.
There we go. Yeah. Bitters and Bottles has our Midnight Marigold there.
Okay. And then, I'll swing by and grab one.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, I didn't know you was in that neighborhood.
I'm everywhere.
Yeah, you're everywhere. Right. You get around. I hear that about you.
The omnipresent Damon Bolton.
Yeah. Very so cool. It's exciting. And it looks like they're going to be opening the Absinthe Bar in New Orleans here before too long. I think by the fall, they might be doing the Belle Epoque again, which features both our Absinthe there and... I don't know. We're expanding. We're getting out there.
Well, I can tell you this: we are already in the planning stages for an event we're going to hold in October called Les Enfants Terribles, right? The terrible babies, the terrible children, where we're going to do in the former space that was Honeybees. We're going to do a month long Halloween style pop up that's featuring mostly Absinthe cocktails.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun. All right,
buy
plane tickets now.
Yeah, you're invited. So we'll be definitely, I'll definitely be reaching out to you after the show to get some product and
plans for the future. It makes me so happy.
Yeah, here we go. Plans. We're planning. We're making plans. But man, what a great time catching up with you.
So great to be with you guys. Thank you so much for having me on. This has been really fun.
Thanks so much for breaking out your ukulele and playing us a little ditty while we did our, sang for our supper there at the mid-roll. you're such a delight to have on the air, and I can't wait to see you again in person.
Yeah, well, we'll have to bust out our ukuleles and do a little jam.
Yeah, yeah, we got to come up with
teach
our
me
branding.
A few things.
Yeah. I can teach you a thing or two.
Right on.
Very cool. Well, that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Check out Heritage Radio Network for many more programs like this one. Check out violetcrownspirits.com and be good to each other. Until next time we speak. Cheers, y'all.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that sound. It's gonna get you some in the air.
The Speakeasy is powered by Simplecast.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork.
Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows that you like. Tell your friends. And please, join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.